text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, the entire account of the baptism of our Lord by John the Baptist, and particularly these words. John would have prevented him saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus is it fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus, the one who is greater than John, goes to John to be baptized. Jesus, the one without sin, submits to a baptism for repentance. Jesus, the only Son of God, acts no differently than all the other people there at the Jordan that day. You know what? This text for today, the things we are told, the events of Jesus' baptism, they just don't make sense. John understood this well. When Jesus came towards him to be baptized, he hardly could figure out what was going on. He said, "You come to me to be baptized?" He knew that it simply didn't make any sense, for he knew that Jesus was far more important than him. He knew that Jesus was sinless. He knew the whole idea didn't make any sense. And you know what? Jesus knew it as well. He knew, quite frankly, that his being baptized by John with a baptism of repentance made no sense based on who he was. That's why when John asked him that question, Jesus said, "Allow it." If it had made sense, I suppose Jesus would have simply told John why it made sense. Or he would have explained that there was a reason that he needed to undergo a baptism for repentance. He would have told John, "It is necessary that we do this." But instead of telling him that it was necessary, he told him that it was fitting, that it was proper that they would do so to fulfill all righteousness. The last character in the scene, God the Father sitting up in heaven. Well, he knew the whole thing didn't make sense either. After all, God knows all things. And therefore, he knew exactly who it was that needed the baptism that John offered and who did not. And surely he knew that his Son, who had done everything perfectly from the time of his birth, certainly did not need to repent. But you know what? God the Father could have cared less that day about making sins. For he was just tickled pink to see his boy standing there in the Jordan River just as he had been told. He was pleased to see his son doing exactly what he had asked him to do, regardless of how little sense it seemed to make. Yes, Jesus came to John at the Jordan because the Father desired for him to do so. He was there because the Father had revealed to him that it was fitting for all righteousness for him to be baptized. No, Jesus wasn't there that day at the Jordan to make sense. He was there rather to give us a picture of how God would make salvation. And how exactly would God make salvation? Well, as I said, Jesus' baptism gives us truly the picture of his plan. How would he do it? Well, he would have Jesus stand in the place of sinners. Yes, that's the picture we get today as we imagine Jesus being baptized by John, the sinless one, standing there where sinners ought to be, undergoing a baptism of repentance, despite his own lack of need for such repentance. The Spirit descends that day, and the Father is speaking. Indeed, remind us of exactly who Jesus is. But his action of being baptized by John takes it a step further and explains to us exactly what Jesus would do. The dove and the voice tell us that Jesus is the Christ. But Jesus stepping into that water at the River Jordan reminds us that the Christ brings salvation to humanity by stepping in and taking their place. Eventually that picture that we get at our Lord's baptism would grow into full reality. On a dark day, a day we call Good Friday, when the Father would no longer speak about how his Son had followed his will perfectly, but instead would rather be forced to turn aside his faith and forsake his only Son. Yes, there on the cross, Jesus standing in the sinner's place means for him receiving the disapproval of his Father and suffering the wages of sin, death itself. Yes, there on the cross, the picture given in Jesus' baptism becomes the full reality. Jesus takes our sin, is forsaken, and dies. And trust me, the sinless Son of God being crucified makes no sense. His being forsaken by a Father who he never wronged even once makes no sense. The author of life, sitting, lying, laying in a grave, it makes no sense. No, all these things in Jesus' life do not make sense, but they all together make salvation. Perhaps our trouble is that while on a day like today when our scriptures call us to do so, we can pause and realize how nonsensical many of the Jesus' actions were based on who he was. We don't often take the time to stop and reflect upon that. We often simply think that the things Jesus did, he did because they made sense. It seems to me if we are to truly appreciate what Jesus has done, we have to realize how little sense they made based on who Jesus was. For you see, we should realize that Jesus should never have had to endure any act that a sinner was called to endure. He should have never had to suffer any of the effects of sin. Jesus should never have had to die. For all of those things are the lot of sinners, not of the perfect Son of God. And it's only when we realize that we can truly appreciate Jesus' actions. For if we think of these things just sort of as normal things that we become accustomed to, we miss how extraordinary the love of God is towards us. Yes, we are called to recognize that the Jesus we see today in the Jordan is there to show us that he will once again on the cross stand in the sinner's place, die where sinners ought die. And we are called to receive that message today in an immensely personal way. We are called to recognize today that Jesus is standing in the Jordan to remind us that he is the one who will stand in our place again. Or rather, we should say, hang in our place again on Calvary. We should realize that it's not just about Jesus, the sinless Son of God, and some sinners, but it is about Jesus, the sinless Son of God, taking the place of us sinners, of you and of me. We are called to recognize that he stood in our place at Calvary and received the death that was ours in order that he might give to us the life that is his. For as Isaiah reminds us, the Christ comes to bring the light for all nations, to open the eyes that are blind and to release the prisoners out of the dungeon. But what the book of Isaiah does not mention, the Gospel of Matthew begins to explain to us that in order for Jesus to do those things as a Christ, it means for him to sit in the darkness, to feel our blindness, yes, even to die our death. For only when he takes the place of sinners can he then have good news to proclaim to all sinners, and to you and to me. Oh, it doesn't make sense that the sinless Son of God would do any of these things. But it does make salvation for all of us that he did. So today, let us confess those times in our life when we have grown so accustomed to the events of Jesus' life and taken it all for granted. Let us have our eyes today again opened up to realize that the decisions of our lives truly had a direct effect on his life. Let us repent today, not by going out to see John at the Jordan, but rather by returning to the repentance that we first spoke or had spoken for us at our baptism. And then let us receive again from that one who comes to stand in our place all the benefits that he has won for us. And let us rejoice in all the magnificent, nonsensical ways that God makes salvation and delivers it to us through his church. Yes, today Jesus is in the Jordan, and we learn who he is. He is the only begotten Son of God whose actions please the Father perfectly. He is the Christ, who is anointed with the Holy Spirit just as the prophets had promised. But perhaps more importantly, we not only learn today who Jesus is, but we are reminded what he has come to do. He has come to stand in the place of sinners, that through standing where they should stand, he might free them from their bondage to sin and give to them the freedom of eternal life. Does it all make sense? Nope. But it makes salvation. Amen.